Our reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 3, verses 31 through 35. And his mothers and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him. And they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mothers and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." The word of God for the people of God. Okay, today is kind of an odd day, you know, in the Advent scheme of things. You know, we just finished Advent. We haven't got, next Sunday will be Epiphany Sunday, you know, the revealing of Christ. And then we go into Jesus' baptism. And then after that, we go into ordinary time, you know, as the church calls it. But today is kind of an odd day. So, you know, trying to fit something in. This is what I came up with, people. Okay. In our passage today that I just read, Jesus is in a house. He's teaching, he's healing, you know, and of course the house is jam-packed with people, you know, inside and outside. People want to hear what he has to say, you know, and they may, you know, to touch him and be healed, for him to touch them. And Jesus' mother and his brothers come up, they ask somebody outside, "Hey, you know, would you go get Jesus and tell him we're out here? You know, we want to see him and talk to him." You know, it says they want to take him quietly back home to Nazareth. You know, and some people, well, if you go back, this is verse 31 through 35. If you go back to verse 20, you know, in the same chapter, you know, it says that some people are saying he's crazy. You know, that he has demons. Now, who are those people? Those are the people that are always trying to trap Jesus. They think he's crazy, you know. But here, his family is outside. Now, maybe they are just genuinely concerned about him, because previous scripture also says that they've been so busy, he and his followers, his chosen 12, they have not even had a chance to eat. So maybe it's just that his family is concerned. His mother, his brothers, you know. But Jesus said, Who are my brothers and my mother? He says, "Those that do my will." But they want to stop Jesus just for a minute. You know, when we're doing the work of God, one thing you can expect is roadblocks. Roadblocks come from anywhere and everywhere, both friends and foes, and maybe even family. The ones we must most be on our guard about, the roadblocks that when they come from somebody, they offer you comfort. You know, they, "Yeah, if I do this, if I give into this, it's the easy way out." You know, and sometimes a lot of people like the easy way out. That taking the easy way out is easier than doing what God calls us to do. Sincere love does not necessarily go hand in hand with wisdom and understanding. Only a true disciple, only a true follower of Christ, through prayer and attention to the Holy Spirit, knows the decision to make, knows the right path, and that path, once found, must be followed. No matter what other people say, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's enemies, no matter what they say, you listen to God. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Christ Jesus knew why he walked the face of this earth. He knew the plan had been set for him. He knew what he was sent here to do. And nothing at all could stop him from doing it. What stops us? What stops people? What stops a church or the church from doing the will of God? Like the prophets Jesus had sent before him, and he sent them, they called him mad. His friends thought he was overworked. His friends thought he was going down the wrong path, misguided. His enemy said he was full of the devil, but he stayed the course his Father set for him, and he now calls each and every one of us, those that call themselves believers, those that call themselves followers, he calls us to do the same, to stay the course. The point of the message today, I look at believers today. Not, I won't say y'all, okay? I'll be easy on you. I won't say y'all. Just believers in general. And I become really concerned how many claim to be Christ's disciples, but really do not seem to be actively seeking his will, but more than that, doing it. You know, we were talking right before, and this isn't in here, just right before, you know, service started, Elise was saying something about an Advent calendar. You know, I said, I saw some Advent calendars this year. You know, I said, man, I want one of them. There was one Advent calendar. Every day you pull it out, and there's a little bottle of wine. There was another Advent calendar. Every day you pull it out, and it's a bottle of whiskey or some kind of liquor from around the world. I said, now, what believer, what follower of Christ came up with these Advent calendars, huh? You know, this is talking about putting the joy in Christmas. You know, you might skip from day one to day 20, you know, all in 1 week. You know, I said, good gosh. But Luke has this event in the early life of Jesus, and the way he puts it's a little different. Maybe because Peter, who had been there and heard the words himself, maybe Peter was telling Mark exactly what happened, while Luke was talking to other witnesses, you know, and getting, you know, everything they said. But there is no conflict between the two. In Mark, Jesus says, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister. Whoever does the will of God. But Luke has it this way. My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God, hear the word of God, and then what? And then do it. There is no conflict, because to hear the word of God is to know the will of God. And the key phrase is to do it. To hear the will of God and to know the will of God, but do it. That's the thing, to do it. To know the will of God, doing the will of God, and judging for ourselves whether we are in that family, the right family, or not. You know, that's one thing, one person, you know, looking at this, that scripture says, okay, this is the first that we have of Jesus, of somebody being outside the family, that Jesus is inside the house. And he said, these is my family, this is my brothers and sisters. But his family, they're outside the house. They will not even come in. So which family are we in? Are we inside the house with Jesus? Or are we outside the house, scared to come in? You know, one of the questions I hear the most, I've heard the most, how can I know God's will for my life? I think in probably most cases what is meant is, what does God want me to do? How can I know from one day to the next if I'm in the right place at the right time? How can I know from moment to moment whether I'm doing the thing that God really wants me to be doing? You know, some people are so scared of that question. You know, and you try and get an answer out of people. You know, and people always, you know, they always want to be helped. There's so many people, they just will not say, well, you know, I really don't know. You know, if you don't know, say you don't know. Don't tell somebody something that's going to lead them down the wrong path. You know, it's better to say, hey, I don't know. Let me go out, you know, and learn a little bit. You know, but a lot of times people often, instead of admitting they don't know, they just add to the problem by coming up with answers that confuse people even more. And if they confuse people because they do not know the answer, so they ramble on and on and on. They confuse people even more. I had one person tell me, there's the perfect will of God and there's permissive will of God. Have you ever heard of that? There's the perfect will and the permissive will. Now, and went on to say, now lots of times, especially with new followers who do not know a lot about the Bible, God will allow you, that person, to go in his permissive will until he becomes more spiritually mature and learns to walk in the perfect will. Okay, and this guy, person went on. God's perfect will is being exactly where he wants you to be at a given time, doing the thing that he wants you to do. Whereas God's permissive will is not being where he wants you or doing what exactly he wants you to do, but your heart's in the right place. And everybody says, oh, my heart's always in the right place. With all of that, you know what I say? B, big letter B, there's another letter that follows it too, but we're in church, so I'm not going to say that. Bunk, okay? Put it that way. There's no trick to knowing God's will for your life, and there's no stumbling block to doing God's will if you really want to do it. There's no stumbling block that can stop you. And I say this because Jesus said, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Do you hear that? You hear the word of God. It comes and it grows in you. You hear the word of God and it grows. And what? You do it. You take it into heart and you do it. You seek it, you know, do not search it, you know, not seek it, not search for it diligently, not struggle against odds. You hear it and you go out and you do it. You take it in and it grows. You know, when I read the scriptures, I don't see many people searching to know what God's will is for their life. I see people at a particular time and a particular circumstance asking God. And the very fact that they recognize that it is his will that they must be doing shows that they are in his will. That we ask God, God, what is it you want for me to do at this time? That proves they are in his will. The way to know God's will is to know God's word. That's why Jesus said, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word and do it. God's word at times is very, very specific. Ten Commandments, take them for an example. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. Honor your father and your mother. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Sometimes God's word is a little more general. Paul reminds his readers that we are temples, your body. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, and we should behave accordingly. You know, that means, hey, no McDonald's, you know, no Burger King, no fast food drive-through joints. You know, stay away from pagan temples, you know. But whether specific or general, where do you go for God's will? God, his word. You don't stray from it. You don't back away from it. You go to his word if you want to know what God's will is. Read the Old Testament. Read about those saints. You will find when they ignore the word of God spoken to them, either through the leaders or through the prophets, by God himself, when they did not listen, the country, the nation of Israel, when they did not listen to what God told them to do, they ended up in trouble. It happens all the time. We hear the word of God, we know the word of God, but when we don't do it, we're in trouble. Abraham found himself in Egypt. Moses found himself, could not go into the promised land. David found himself fighting against his own son. Elijah found himself hiding in a cave from a woman. Now, what man hides from a woman? Come on, I thought I'd get a good joke out of that one, huh? You know, Jonah, I mean, he found himself needing a really big bar of Dial soap because he didn't listen. Because of our nature, We're all born with sin. There will never be a man or a woman born who does not go through life entirely, entirely in God's will. And that's where God's grace comes in. The unmerited, undeserved love of God, that's where his grace comes in. But if we read his word, but more than read, if we study his word, you will know his will. Until then, we cannot even begin to follow it. You know, there's no way you know it if you do not read and study his word. Make no mistake. We are either doing his will or we are not. We are not doing it, then we are not doing his will. We are outside of his will. We cannot sugarcoat it. This is very important. I know that God considers it important because he inspired Jesus' brother James to say this. Prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, but once he looked at himself and walks away, he immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. And James goes on to say, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. One more time. That knows the right thing to do, but does not do it, it is what? Sin. To know the right thing, to hear the Holy Spirit tell you what the right thing is, to tell you, go do this, to read God's word and to know it, but then just to refuse it. Sin. Wise, very serious word, to hear the word, not to neglect doing it. But it's really a lot simpler than we make it. Doing God's will does not necessarily mean going to the mission field, you know, Africa, you know, doing some big thing, you know, going and cleaning up. You know, it does not mean, you know, you have to teach Sunday school. It does not mean you have to be a pastor. You know, it does not mean giving large sums of money to the church. You know, those things that, you know, when we think about doing God's will, you know, those things come up first. But the truth of the matter is, God wants, God needs. And what did it say? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God wants laborers, witnesses everywhere. That means, you know, that if you're a plumber, he wants plumbers doing his will. You know, if you're in construction work, he wants construction workers doing his will. If you're in banking, he wants bankers doing his will. You know, if you're a teacher, he wants teachers doing his will. He wants every believer doing his will. And people, some of you, I'm not going to let you off the hook. If you retire and you don't work anymore, he even wants you doing his will. You can never stop doing his will, even after you retire. He wants all of us doing his will. The workplace, at home, wherever you are, wherever your life takes you, do his will. Paul summed it up in a few words to the Colossians. Let the word of Christ richly dwell with you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. A very basic formula for knowing and doing God's will. One, know God's word. Know God's word richly. Love actively. Let all your words and deeds acknowledge God thankfully. Do you want to know if you're in God's will? Do you desire, do you even want to be in God's will? Then make that the desire of your heart, not only your heart, your mind, your life. then pray that God will keep you in his will. Study his word. Read it. Spend time in it. Pray about it. Pray to God the Father about it. And then what? Two words. Just like Nike. Or three words. Just do it. Isn't that Nike's thing? Just do it. I don't wear Nike, so I don't know. Don't worry about taking a wrong turn. If you actively seek to know the path, the Bible, God's word, promises those who seek him and seek to do his will, he will give guidance and direction. The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So know God's word richly, love actively. Let all your words and deeds acknowledge God thankfully. Follow the formula Paul gives us in Colossians, and you will be in the will of God, I promise. Okay, let's talk just for a second about judging for ourselves whether we are in the right family. Either you is or you ain't. You are either saved or you lost. You're either one of God's children or you're one of Satan's slaves. And I've said this before. You know, had a person tell me one day, you know, Aaron, I'm never tempted. You know, I'm never tempted. So, oh, brother, you better watch out if you're never tempted. Might not be tempted because Satan already has you. You're either one of the elect or you're the one under God's wrath. Heaven bound or destined for eternal separation from God, where the worm never dies and the fire's never quenched. Now, you and I cannot know each other's heart the way God does, but God knows your heart. He knows your heart. He knows every thought that we have, and sometimes that's scary. You and I can somewhat judge by each other's fruit or lack of whether or not we have a relationship with Christ. Jesus said we could do that, and we must do that for each other's safety, to admonish each other. I can only tell you what Jesus told all of us here. His family are those who hear the word of God and what again? Do it. Those who do not hear the word of God or those who do not do it are not in his family. The words in these verses challenge me to look at myself and challenge myself, but not only that, to challenge each and every one of us here. To go off to a quiet place and spend time with God and to hear that still small voice. To do some serious soul searching and evaluations of ourselves. I don't care if you prayed the sinner's prayers. I don't care if you come stumbling down the aisle, you know, crying at the last hymn, you know, tears running down your eyes. You know, I don't care, you know, if you prayed, you know, accept Jesus as your Savior. If you even tell me the definition of justification by faith, according to Jesus, if you do not have an ear for the word of God, or if you hear it and do not do it, you are not in his family. Will it benefit you to be a sympathizer of Jesus? Will it get you into heaven to say, I'm on your side, Jesus? A friend standing outside the door listening, but never, never actively seeking and going in to sit at his feet and listen. Where are you? Outside or inside? We have to be honest with ourselves. To be both a hearer and a doer. Or self-deceived. Thinking you belong simply because you hear and you agree with it. You're like, yeah, it sounds good. I agree with you. But you never do it. Do not be afraid of the truth. What do we know? The truth will set you free. Jesus has promised, but will do more than that, set you free. It will give you wings to fly. And where are you going to fly? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. It should be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. If you heed these words, ask God to search your heart and make you not just a hearer, but a doer. Ask and it will be done. And you'll be given wings to fly. And where are you going to fly? To be with Father, Son, Spirit for all eternity. And that's it, not where we all want to be. But it's not just doing it, because what we get at the end, it's what we get right now today. Love, joy, peace, mercy. We get a relationship with our Savior, God's Son. We get the peace that surpasses all understanding. We get life, and we get life abundantly. We get that today, not what we get in the future. We do it for what we have here. A relationship with Father, Son, Spirit, and to be in His family. Amen. Let us pray. Most holy God, we give you thanks for this day. Lord God, be with us that each and every day, Lord God, that we may be counted in your family, that we hear, read, know the word of God, but Lord God, we take it one step farther, that step you want us to take, that step you want every believer to take, to hear your word and do it. To be Emmanuel, Jesus with us, Lord God. We thank you. In your Son's most holy name, amen.